Pam and Jim had planned their wedding to a T, set in a beautiful state park in August with a historic covered bridge to top it off. But when they got there, someone had moved a dumpster to the site, half full of summer barbecues gone by in the August heat and enjoyed only by a colony of raccoons that had built a nest in it.
Oh, gross!
Plans, no matter how meticulously devised, can fall apart completely out of your control.
You can plan all you want, but ultimately, God is sovereign. Ultimately, God is in control. Ultimately, God rules. Amen?
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. You can make plans for life, but when it comes to carrying them out, you quickly realize just how little control you have over them. It's a piece of wisdom that comes from the wisest man to ever walk the earth, Solomon. And today, Charles Tapp shares how discovering this can open up a world of freedom and rest, as he shares the third and last part in the series, A Word to the Wise, with his message, The Heart of Wisdom.
While listening to an audiobook the other day while driving in my car, the author made a very commanding and arresting statement that just caught my attention. I couldn't let it just pass by. She asks this particular question: what would you do with your life if you knew whatever you attempted to do would not fail? I thought about that for a moment, and that's a very profound question. What would you do if you knew whatever that was, you would be guaranteed that you would be a success in doing it? And that sounded somewhat like a loaded question, but as I pondered on that question, I began to understand more clearly what she was really asking. And what she was really asking was this: what is it that your heart truly desires? What is that one thing you want in life more than anything else? As we continue our series on the book of Proverbs, we look at the life of Solomon today in 1 Kings chapter 3, and we basically understand that God poses this same kind of question to Solomon. He basically asks him, listen, what is it that you want? And out of a host of myriad of things that he could have chosen from his bucket list, we know the one thing that Solomon chose was this thing that we call wisdom. Despite the fact that basically God gave Solomon a proverbial blank check, he could have written anything on it that he wanted, but of all the things he desired, he responded by saying to God, the one thing that I want is this thing called wisdom. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, as we look at verse 5, verse 8, and then we're going to drop down to verse 9. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give what? You. Look at verse 8. And your servant in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or to be what? Counted. Look at verse 9. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between what? Good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Now, to really understand this passage we just read, you've got to understand what happened before. Solomon had just taken over being king from his father, David. And he began to look at all that it took and all the responsibilities that now fell upon him now that he was king of Israel. He began to ask questions like, how can I do this? He felt unworthy for the calling that God had placed on his life. He felt unsure of himself. He felt, and you can read it in 1 Kings chapter 3, that the only reason he got the job of king was because of his father, who was David. You know, there are some preachers, and you ask them, why are you a preacher? Because my father was a preacher. Well, why was he a preacher? Because his father was a preacher. Sometimes it has nothing to do with the call that God has placed on a particular life. It's simply they're just repeating what has already taken place. And he felt so insecure about this call. How can I handle this great responsibility? He felt completely overwhelmed by it. So the Bible goes on to say that while he fell asleep and Solomon was in a dream, God visited him in the dream. Now, how many of you know that worry and anxiety will impact your sleep in one of two ways? Amen? First of all, it may keep you from sleeping altogether. Any witnesses? Some of you got insomnia, don't you? Why? Because you're sitting there worrying. Secondly, it may impact you in this way. You may sleep, but you may take your worry into your dreams. Some of you are nodding because you know what I'm talking about. Some of you may get sleep, but by the time you get up, you're so tired because you've been wrestling with your worries in your dreams. So God visited Solomon in the midst of his dream. And I thought about that. Why would he do that? Because that's where Solomon's worry and concern was. He took it to his dreams. And here's the good thing about God. Wherever you are, God will go there with you and for you. Who says amen today? How cool must that have been? You know, I would love for God to visit me in my dreams once. But God visited Solomon in his dreams. But the question still remains, why did Solomon ask for wisdom and not riches? Why wisdom and not success? Why wisdom and not abundance? Solomon, unlike many of us today, realized that he needed God more than riches, more than fame, and he realized he needed God more than success. Amen? In verse 7, Solomon says, listen, I can't handle this thing. I'm like a child. I don't know how to go in, and I don't know how to go out. In other words, he was simply saying, listen, I am out of my league when it comes to leading your people. I know how Solomon felt. How many of you have ever felt that a major responsibility was placed upon you, and you just felt completely out of your league in being able to handle that? That's the way Solomon felt. In other words, when it came to being king, he realized he needed the help of God. And what I love about this story, God never asked Solomon what was his worry. He never asked Solomon if he was concerned about being king. Listen, all he asked of Solomon was this one question: what do you want? What do you want? Please don't miss this. Despite our desperate attempts many times to conceal the true condition of our hearts, many times our tongues reveal what we have hidden even from ourselves. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 12, 34, for out of the abundance of the heart flows what? The mouth speaks. How many times have you said, well, I really didn't mean to say that? It just slipped. You've said that, haven't you? And you know why it slipped? Because it was already in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I love how God did it. He didn't ask Solomon if he was worried. He just said, Solomon, what do you want? You know, Barbara Walters, the great TV interviewer, just retired a few weeks ago, and she had the uncanny ability of being able to get the most out of her or the people that she would interview, whether they wanted to share their heart's desires or not. But she would never ask a direct question. She asked a roundabout question, and she got exactly the answer that she wanted. And before the guests realized it, they had completely spilled their guts. And that's what happened with Solomon. God didn't say, Solomon, are you concerned about being king? He probably would have lied, oh Lord, no, Lord, I've got this. But instead he says, Solomon, what do you want? And all of a sudden, the floodgates open, and Solomon goes, I can't handle this. This is too much for me. It's too big of a responsibility. I feel like a child. What am I going to do, God? Give me this thing called wisdom. He felt inadequate. He knew in his own heart that if it was going to be done, he was going to have the help of God. Because he recognized more than anything that when it came to his inadequacy, God was sovereign, that God was in charge. And that's the message that he gives us in Proverbs chapter 16, which is our word for the wise that we're going to look at this morning. Proverbs 16, looking at verse 1, the Bible says, the preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is what? From the Lord. Let's read that again. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Now, I know at first glance, this really doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but when you break it down, it really does. Because the preparation of the heart that he is talking about, he's simply saying that man has a way of devising his own plans, his own direction for life. But when it comes to the tongue is symbolic of action. So in essence, he's saying, you can plan all you want, but when it comes to making sure that your plans reach their desired end, you are utterly helpless before God. In other words, you can think of the thoughts, but you need God's help to give you the ability to speak those thoughts. You can make your plans. You can devise your plans. But when it comes to carrying those plans out, Solomon says, listen, you are at the mercy of God. You can plot. You can plan. You can prepare. You can propose how everything you want to go a certain way. But it is God who determines the end result. How many of you know that to be true? Proverbs 16, verse 9, it says, A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord is the one who directs his steps. In other words, Pastor, are you saying we shouldn't plan? I'm not saying that at all. Because you know the old adage that says, if you fail to plan, you what? You plan to fail. But what is being said here, that if you and I want God to bless the outcome, we need to first go to God at the beginning of the process. Look at Proverbs 16, verses 2 and 3. As Solomon goes on here, he says, all the ways of a man are what? Pure in his own eyes, but the Lord does what? Weighs the spirits, verse 3. Commit your ways to the Lord, and your thoughts will be what? Established. That word commit means to turn over or to roll over or to give them to God. And the works that he's talking about are not the end result. He's talking about the process of planning. So if you turn the process of your planning over to God, he says your plans will be established. And in the Hebrew, that word simply means something that will be brought into existence certainly. Does that mean that whatever I give to God, he'll simply bless it? No, because the Bible says all the ways of a man's heart, he thinks that are pure, but God is the one who knows the motives of that individual's heart. So if we want our plans to come to fruition, it doesn't just mean giving our plans to God, but it also means depending on what we give to God. And the point that Solomon is making here in Proverbs 16 is that when it comes to making plans, regardless of the nature of our plans, we must always be cognizant of this fact. You can plan all you want, but ultimately, God is sovereign. Ultimately, God is in control. Ultimately, God rules. Amen?
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, The Heart of Wisdom. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
I'm going to take a moment and just recommend that you breathe. Now, there are all kinds of breathing techniques that you can use. One is count to 10, you know, breathing in, count to 10, breathing out, kind of hold it in the middle, you know, breathing in His grace and breathing out His praise. Whatever you choose, breath is really important. And this time of year, you know, you may have a cold or you may have the flu and it's restricting your breathing. So you know just how important that is. God has given you that breath. In Acts, Paul wrote this, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands, and He is not served by human hands, as if He needed anything, because He Himself gives all men life and breath and everything else." And so take a moment and take a deep breath and stay encouraged.
To get more encouraging content, go to WGTS919.com.
This is Simple Truths for Life. And no matter how much control you think you have over your plans, the sooner you realize you're really not in control, the happier you'll be. Charles Tapp reveals the freedom you can discover when you give God control as he finishes up the rest of his message, The Heart of Wisdom.
Look at James chapter 4, verses 13 to 16. I'm going to show you exactly what Solomon is talking about here. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit. Sounds good, right? Okay? Whereas you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even what? A vapor that appears, and a vapor is a gas, that appears for a little time and then does what? Vanishes away. Look at verse 15. Instead, you ought to say what? If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this and do that. And then he just sums it up in verse 16. But now you boast in your what? Ignorance, for all such boasting is what? What does he call boasting? Thinking that just because you planned it means it's going to come to fruition. In other words, he's saying you may have the ability to think it in your mind, to prepare it with your hands, but you have no control over the end results. This past week, I was in Memphis, Tennessee. I scheduled my plane to come back on Thursday. Got the earliest flight available because I needed to rest from travel. But it wears me out now. So I planned my return flight at 6 a.m. Direct flight get me into BWI 10 a.m. Got the rest of the day. I can cut my lawn. I can prune my roses. I got up at 4 o'clock. Got ready, put on my clothes, about to leave, and my phone vibrates. Text message that says, not that my flight has been delayed. My flight's been canceled. I've never had a flight canceled on me. So I began to go back and forth with the representative on the line. I said, listen, do you mean to tell me all you can do is give me an apology? That's it? I'm sorry, sir. Now, I got another seat for you at 12 o'clock. Take it or leave it. I'll take it. So I flew out at 12 noon, but it wasn't a direct flight. It was going to take me to Orlando, Florida. Can you see the map? Memphis, Orlando, D.C. So I'm scheduled to arrive at 6:45. I can't make this stuff up. We're on the plane. We We're now descending into Orlando, and the pilot comes over the intercom and says, I'm sorry, but we cannot land at the Orlando airport. There's been a storm here, and it's been closed for 2 hours. And then it starts to go up again. And he says, we're going to fly you to Panama City, Florida, until they reopen the Orlando airport. All right? Now you know I'm hot now, right? 1 hour later, sitting on the tarmac, he comes back on the intercom and says, we're now able to go back to Orlando. Come to Orlando airport. We come in. He stops. He stops well short of the gate. He gets back on the intercom. Because of the storm, because the airport was closed, traffic is now backed up. So we've got to sit here on the tarmac. My plan, please listen to me. I had a reservation for 6 a.m. to arrive by 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. But God showed me you can have your plan. But when it comes to bringing those plans to fruition, you are impotent. And I thought about it. I said, God, did you have to go through all that just so I have a story for today's sermon? If we are not careful to acknowledge that God is sovereign, we may soon forget that we are stewards, not just of the things we own, but we are stewards even of our own lives. Even of our own plans. For God says, you may have your plans, but Jeremiah 29:11 says, but I have plans for you. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God says, plan all you want, but you are impotent when it comes to making sure those plans come to fruition. And as I thought about that this week, I decided to put something on Facebook. I don't put a whole lot of stuff on Facebook. Here's what God showed me. Just because something happens in your life to disappoint you doesn't necessarily mean it is a disappointment. Just because things happen and stuff happens that will disappoint you when you recognize that God is sovereign over your life doesn't mean it has to be a disappointment. Because there are things in life that disappoint us. There are things that we feel that we should have. There are jobs that I felt in my life that were destined for me. People even got in my head and said, man, you're going to get this. This is yours. Who else are they going to give this to? This is for you, man. And I was foolish and listened to that. And I didn't get it. And I was disappointed. But because I knew God was sovereign over my life and I had given my life to him, just because I was disappointed, it didn't turn into disappointment. Because all things work together for good when you give God control of your life. Who says amen today? And some of you are disappointed, but it doesn't mean it has to be a disappointment in your life. We can make all the plans we want. They can be good plans. They can be grand plans. They can be plans we think God honors. But God says, listen, I've got a bigger picture. And sometimes your plans just won't fit. That's what Solomon was saying here. Listen, just because you're disappointed doesn't mean it has to be a disappointment. But God is teaching me of late to acknowledge the fact that he is sovereign over my life. And some of us never get to the point where we completely depend on God. Some of you may be familiar with the author, Christian singer, Johnny Erickson Tata. She, many years ago when she was a teenager, had a diving accident and she became a quadriplegic. And she began to write books and sing Christian songs. But I read a statement of hers the other day that blew me away as it related to the dependency we have with God. Listen to what she says. She says, maybe the truly handicapped people are the ones that don't need God so much. Now, this woman spends her entire life in a chair. But she says the truly handicapped people are those who don't recognize their need of God. Sometimes in order for God to remind you that you need him, he takes your plans and disrupts them. We must understand God is sovereign. God is in control. Well, Pastor, I don't understand that. It's a theological puzzle because one of the aspects of God's sovereignty is that he gives you and me the power to choose and the power to make decisions, which can ultimately impact our lives. That's how sovereign God is. Well, Pastor, my plans didn't work out. You're right. Your plans didn't work out. Well, Pastor, I thought that was mine. You thought. We need to take God, our desires, before we ever start working them out. And here's the thing. I believe God gave Solomon this blank check because God knew the kind of heart that Solomon had. He knew he could trust him, so he made him the wisest man that ever lived. But here's the thing. God didn't stop there. Because God recognized just how Solomon thought of him and how sovereign he was and the place he had in his life, God says, listen, I'm not just going to make you the wisest man that ever lived. I'm going to give you success, fame, wealth, and all the rest. Because when you finally recognize, when I finally recognize that God is in control and not me, God can trust us with anything. And that's exactly what he did in the life of Solomon. And that's what Jesus meant in Matthew 6:33 when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He wasn't talking about a place. He wasn't talking about searching for a place. He was saying, let God have reign in your life. And if you let God have first place in your life, all this other stuff, I can trust you with it, but if your goal is to get the stuff and not have me in control, you are planning a suicide. Because it's only when we recognize who's in control that we can handle all the other things that we're searching and seeking and desperately trying to gather on our own. So here's my question to you today. Same question that Solomon was asked of God. What do you want? No, I mean, really, what do you want? What is really your true heart's desire? Here's the thing. If you're not willing to give it to God, pray you never get it. Do I need to say that again? If you're not willing to give it first to God, pray you never get it. Because if you get it without giving it to God first, it will destroy you. So trust God, because God is in charge. God has the last word. Who says amen today?
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, The Heart of Wisdom. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on Apple Podcasts and also on Spotify. Or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.com. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
We can become so preoccupied with his return that we forget to be occupied with his return.
Next week, Charles Tapp examines what it means to be preoccupied with Christ's return or occupied with his return, with his message, occupied or preoccupied. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.